I'll be talking to you again soon. Bye.
Take care. Are you still there, Russ?
Yep, I'm still here, darling.
Itsy Wincy Spider went climbing up the spout.
Hey, Tia.
Yo! Hello, I'm back.
Oh, what was the question that she told me to ask Tia? Oh, I remember. We were talking about, you know, how money was going to become irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was thinking that if money becomes irrelevant to Earth,
mm-hmm.
then I was thinking that maybe our third dimension would go into a barbaric stage.
I don't see that happening. I see that money would become less valuable, but coinage would be just as important as it is now. The paper money, after all, what is that? Paper.
Yeah.
But if you have coins, that is something substantial that contains a mineral that is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe paper money would go down the thingy and be replaced by coins.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. But I don't think it's going to go to a barbaric stage where tribalism is the norm. I see a time of unrest and increasing violence and things becoming more expensive, but I don't see it becoming a barbaric bartering state.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, trading goods for other things will occur, but not as prevalent as you're predicting.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to let you finish up with Russ here.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be there tomorrow, sister mind.
Okay.
But before I go, I give you my love and I give you a big kiss.
Okay, thanks. I love you too.
I love you too.
Tell Carrie I love her. I didn't tell her I loved her.
Oh, she's waving and saying she loves you too.
Okay.
All right, darling. Well, you have a wonderful night tonight.
Thanks, I will. I'm going to sleep well.
All righty, excellent. I'll call you up and check on everything that's going with you.
Okay.
All right. Bye, love.
Thanks for calling.
My pleasure, darling.
I love
you. I love you too, darling. Tell Mike bye.
Tell Mark hi.
I will.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to put in the next person.
Alrighty.
I don't know why she does that.
Oh, she's just in the habit of...
She was teasing you. She's giggling like crazy. You were expecting either Corton or Ashtar. She is giggling profusely.
Yeah, she likes to be the fool. To fool me.
Yes, okay. Let us get down to business. Where were we?
Well, let's see.
Oh, yes. You have questions.
Yes. All right. Okay, first off, look at the one I even have written down, and that's on the Jehovah's Witnesses tomorrow.
Oh, yes, entertainment time, I believe.
Entertainment. You guys were monitoring that, I assume, last Wednesday.
What do you think?
Of course, I could feel that, and Kara was in my head half the time telling me this. So, what do you think of that mess of gibberish?
I prefer your first phrase.
I do, too.
Gibberish.
What up? Watch it. Tosh.
They have taken truth and twisted it so much. But they believe in what they believe. You cannot condemn them for believing in something.
Oh, no.
It makes them a centered individual. Whether or not it is accurate or inaccurate is irrelevant.
I had to start the same route.
That is correct.
Well, it is the path toward enlightenment.
Correct. It is necessary for them to believe that they will be picked up and taken to a paradise.
Right. Well, it's easy to assume, then, the hell that's actually going to happen to them.
What is hell?
Well, you know, hell is what you make it.
Exactly. And heaven is what you make
it. You know, if the world goes to, you know, an anarchist kind of existence, let's say.
As you were going to say, hell in a handbasket?
Something like that. It goes that route, and these guys aren't picked up, And they're all going, well, what happened? Aren't we the chosen ones? You know, that's hell for them.
Yes.
You know, that's their version of hell.
Correct.
And so, I mean, for me, it's just another lesson.
Correct.
But for them,
but it is necessary for them to understand that if they perceive that they didn't make it, then they have the option to make heaven on earth. They could make their own little piece of utopia if they are prepared to pay the price. Because in a society where those that have become the target, what do you have to do to maintain being that people that have?
Discretion.
Or learn to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And they strike me as a very unhostile religious sect.
Well, very much so. So I don't know how they're going to deal with this, but that's what I'm here for, I think.
Well, there is a saying that might help you. The price of freedom must be watered regularly with the blood of patriots.
That's a good saying.
I believe it was said by one of your early presidents. I believe he also said a little revolution from time to time is a good thing.
Good point. So I'll be talking to these guys tomorrow, and I've been reading up on their book, which is, oh my god.
It's so convoluted.
Oh, gee.
But Mark was quite correct in pointing out the fact that it is a translation of a translation of a translation of a translation.
Right. Now, I don't know if Kara told you about the book I'm reading now, the Essene Gospel of Peace.
Uh-huh.
Which is a translation from the Aramaic scrolls found in the Vatican, who dash some very important
little pieces of their information.
Right.
Again, another example of a religious sect distorting the truth or selectively telling the truth. Here is a little way to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
There are three ways to lie. You tell the truth and all the truth, but in such a way that nobody will believe you.
Mm-hmm.
That way you are lying, but you're not lying. You tell all of the truth except the important factors. Or you just out and out barefaced lie.
And you make it so blatant
that nobody's going to believe you anyway.
Right. Alright, well, I'll work with these guys. I'm going to let him borrow the Essene Gospel of Peace, I think.
Yes, but the way to deal with them is listen to what they're saying. Be careful and selective, because you do not want to scare them off totally, because there is a possibility that you may learn things.
Oh yeah, we were working quite hard on this last week.
And there is also the fact that you're learning from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're helping them and they are helping you.
Well, here's the thing, is even if they don't, you know, believe, of course, what I'm saying, the fact of the matter is that it's entered into their subconscious.
Correct.
Which is the whole point of even talking to people. Alrighty. Oh yes, I was watching a program Mark has already seen before about
the Great Pyramid.
Yes, the Huguenot project.
Ah, yes, the little robot droid that climbs up very steep angles.
Correct. His whole goal is to open up that passage.
I don't think he would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see. In the first place, they'd have to take off the copper fittings off that door.
Yes, and I don't think the engineers that designed it would have made it easy for them.
So they're just going to be running into all kinds of little problems once they try to get that thing open.
Correct. And besides, if they remove the copper holdings,
mm-hmm.
how are they going to lift this up?
Right.
How are they going to keep it supported up?
Theoretically, they could drill through there. And then go ahead and cut away from that point outward and make a passage that they could get through.
They project that it is that thick.
Right.
What if it's that thick? Or that thick?
Good point. But I thought it was an interesting feat that they even got that far.
Okay, let us proceed to the next question.
Next question down is, first off, why is it that whenever I'm in this room here, I feel relaxed or sleepy? Is that because of the pyramid?
That is correct, that you have booted your staff in the pyramid.
Okay. Now, why is that affecting me in such a way? Is that the relaxation
of
the pyramid divides?
It generates a field which makes you feel comfortable and relaxed.
Whether you're in it or out of it.
Correct.
Oh, I understand. Okay, that's why it's good for healing.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I'm working on meditation at this point. And one of the things that explained in the meditation book I'm working on is the rising of the Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The book speaks of 12 seals or force centers within the body, which connect up to the 144,000 force centers throughout the body. I'm assuming they're talking about nerve centers.
Correct. But let us go back to that number.
144,000. Yes, it does keep popping up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Now, how come that would correspond with what we're reading about in Old Testament and New Testament?
Because a lot of religions are intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
The Kundalini and the chakras have come from the Indian areas.
Right.
Which is a Hindu society.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of intertwining and taking of ideas from each other.
Well, this coming from the migrations.
Correct. Which goes back to...
Goes back to Atlantis.
Correct.
So the original number 144,000 is coming from Atlantis.
Correct.
Had to, because how's anybody going to spot that many nerve centers in the body?
Correct.
Unless you have an intimate knowledge of the body, and these guys did not.
Correct.
Okay. So when we're talking about the 144,000 with homeboys tomorrow, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
The homeboys make them sound more amenable.
I agree. Then what they're going to be talking about is actually a subtle reference to the nerve centers within the body.
Correct.
Why would they then translate that to mean people? Besides what, of course, they read in the Bible.
The fact is that 144,000 is also the necessary number to make a cohesive conscious unit.
Wait a minute. Okay, I got it. 144,000 nerve centers all get unified from the 12 major nerve centers, therefore creating a circuit that creates the requisite number for... how would you even describe that particular energy transfer?
Consciousness.
I'll go with that. But it's a lightweight term for
it.
It
is a lot more than that.
Right.
Consciousness is a word that describes the first step.
Okay.
Now, to explain it in more detail, if you have 144,000 nerve points, and they're all connecting to each other, either passing through one or branching off and joining with other ones. Let's say they branch off from four different points. Let's say north, east, south, and west. How many connections do you have?
There's four.
Now, how many connections total for all the 144,000?
Four times that.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, supposing the number is even higher, 10 or 20 different little points connecting.
So then it's another, each point is a step.
Correct.
I see.
Each point that joins is a step again, a step higher.
Right. So this is getting 144,000 is a major leap.
Correct.
Now, we have evidence of that within certain members of our third dimensional history and culture. Indian yogis of the real higher natures.
Yes.
have reached that. The 144,000.
Correct.
To go even higher, then you become an ascended master, such as Jesus.
Yes, it is a borderline point. Sananda was not an ascended master. He was a descending entity. Because he came from on high.
Right.
From a higher level down to your level.
So he had already connected up with these points well before and ever getting there.
Proceeded way beyond.
Right. And I'll tell you, reading that Essene Gospel of Peace, you really get, you know, the Bible doesn't touch Sananda's true nature. And this, at least, gives you a much deeper, more intimate knowledge.
But there is something that must be added.
Hmm.
Sananda lied.
Lied?
Yes.
Huh?
He had to.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Otherwise, he would have been caught in a trap and ended up in a whole lot of trouble. It gets back to lying. Lying does serve its purposes.
I didn't see the lying part is what you're talking about, as I saw it in the way that he brought knowledge that couldn't be explained in secular terms and put a religious or a spiritual essence to it that people could understand. He didn't just lay it right out.
No, he had to lie in such a way as to not get himself persecuted, ridiculed, or even killed until it was necessary to fulfill the function.
Well, it's like I'm reading through this in his words, and I'm realizing what he's actually saying is not what is actually on paper. That's because of my conversations with you
and with him
and our association. He's not talking about anything what they're hearing. He's saying stuff that, you know, if you have the knowledge, it all connects up.
That's correct.
It wasn't meant for them right then.
Well, for some of them, yes, it was meant for them to record.
Right. But it was meant for others who had keys that made those words fit the keys.
Correct. It is like some of the statements that we make. You do not understand some of them, right. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
But later on, you may, other people may.
Right.
You could almost say that we are the next step of Christianity. But that would be too conceited. We are part of it.
Right.
Or what you perceive as Christianity. Because what we teach is what Sananda tells us to teach.
Right.
And so therefore we are passing on the next step of the lesson. Remember that he said that life is a lesson that goes on.
It's funny you should say that too, because when I'm talking to you, I feel like those guys in the Essene Gospel of Peace who are, you know, they're like hurt and broken and they're getting healed by Jesus and he's telling this stuff to record. But like, you know, they're only grasping just parts of the idea and the rest of it's going to be picked up later by somebody else and expanded upon. And I'm like, you know, the awesomeness is just like, where is this going?
Okay, we're going to have to...
Okay. I understand. Let me see if I've got anything left here to go real quickly before we take our leave. Oh, yes, next week we'll have Johnny here.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I have some things to discuss with him.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, good. And we'll go ahead and, if we could, work a little bit more on history at that point.
Okay.
Alrighty. Thank you, Amal.
Live long, prosper. I'll be back.
Hello to you. Meow. How you doing? Thank you.
We're running very short on time, aren't we?
No, we got half a tape left.
Oh, good.
We got mass tape. About 20 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll put on the next person.
Okay.
Hello, once again, dear.
How are you, my love?
I'm doing fine.
So how was your day today, darling? Busy?
Yes, busy.
Yeah, I know you dropped out of mind range after a certain point.
I had an emergency that needed to be attended to, like last night when I dropped out briefly.
Mark told me, but what happened?
We had a scout vessel get badly damaged.
Oh.
Pilot was fine. Unfortunately, we lost 90% of communication from it. We would only get the occasional words on the transmitter from it.
Mm.
It was severe damage blank. Severe damage to what? To the pilot, to the ship, to the computer. We didn't know.
Right.
So we were on standby. And the pilot, yes, he was wounded. But not badly. He had lost about 3 pints of blood and was preparing to administer a shutdown of his body. By that point, his ship was being towed.
Oh, not good. Okay, we've got the guys tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're on hormones.
Hormones.
Now, last week we discussed introns.
Mm-hmm.
This week we're working on hormones, and I want to work on the connection between the two, and where does one leave off and one begin?
Oh, you're getting into a tricky field there.
Oh, I thought we'd have fun with this one.
Yes, we could have fun with it. Hormones are the chemicals in your body that make up certain actions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Introns are responsible for other certain actions,
right,
such as we said, being hyperactive. Hormones are the follow-on that give you the urge to repeat your species, to have fun and sex.
Right. Survival instinct.
Correct. And the next one from that, related very closely, are pheromones. Pheromones are a smell that is given off a little bit like after making love,
mm-hmm,
but it's before.
Okay, so when we get to working with hormones,
mm-hmm,
then what we're really dealing with is things that inhibit and non-inhibit growth.
Correct.
And actions, emotions,
and so on.
And so on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the hormones, I assume, are controlled by numerous glands in the body,
correct,
number one of which is the pituitary.
Correct. Okay. And also outside sources like pheromones.
Okay.
And also introns.
Okay.
You see, they're all connected.
Now, are the introns are part of our DNA.
Yes.
Hormones and pheromones are released by the glands in our body.
Correct. Which is, again, in turn, part of the DNA. The more hormones that you give off, for example, one very famous one is testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you, you. I mean, you as a male.
Right.
Like, when you give off a lot of testosterone, it attracts what?
Females.
When I give off pheromones, what does that do?
You.
Oh, yes. Attracts you to me.
Right.
Okay, so they are selective chemicals. When you talk about something really, when you hear somebody saying it's a chemical thing, they're not necessarily talking about their addictions. It is a chemical thing between two individuals.
Okay, now, when you say that hormones and pheromones and testosterone are part of the DNA,
mm-hmm,
what are you saying? Does that mean they're part of the code? Or
correct,
are you saying the DNA controls how much are released?
Both. It is part of the code and how much is released. You see, it is necessary, as we were discussing with Kerry, to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
And selecting the best possible mate is part of the pheromone-hormone combination.
Right.
You see, you want somebody that matches chemically you, makes it easier to have children.
Right.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And it is necessary for the hormones that control all sorts of things. This one, the sweat.
Okay.
That has hormones in it, because it gives off a smell. There is so much to do with hormones that we could sit here and discuss it until I was blue in the face.
Alright, well, let's talk about the nerve centers then. Let's switch over to that Amal was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're talking about unifying the energy
mm-hmm.
of the 144 nerve centers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give me an example of a nerve center, one of the 144,000, for example.
I'll give you an example. Watch.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. in the muscles?
Let me do that again. I'm getting good at that. Let's see if I can do this one.
Good girl. Okay. Those are muscles, though. Those aren't nerve centers.
But what makes the muscles do that?
The electrical impulse is sent from the brain. I assume this travel on the nerve centers. Okay, so what I was thinking of was touch. You know, I put my finger on something hot.
Oh, there is a lot more than just touch.
Okay.
That's one.
Okay, so when we're talking 144,000, we're talking about everything.
That's another one. Well, that's two right there.
So now, when Amal mm-hmm. speaks about unifying these all up,
he is talking about balancing them so that they are totally in tune.
Now, does that then make you more aware of your 144 nerve centers?
Correct.
Now, what does that do for you in a world like we've got now?
It gives you sensory overload if you're not careful.
That's what I was going to say. It would be our next little problem.
Right. How many sensory nerves am I messing around with?
Five senses and five fingers.
The five senses.
Let's go with the five senses. All right.
Okay. How does this work?
Feeling?
If it was me, I would feel my finger running along the clean copper.
Right.
Right. I would know instinctually what's happening is that by doing this, it's going down here, all the way down the arm, through the nerve center, or the nerve line, to the central nervous processing unit.
CPU.
Right. Now what's happening?
You're seeing me.
How?
With the optic nerve centers that are behind the eyeball.
Mm-hmm. The light is coming in and touching the retina.
Mm-hmm.
The retina takes us along here to the back of the cranium, along the nervous passageway, the nerve center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Taste.
What is happening?
You got various nerves that differentiate between heat, cold, salt, sweet.
And some of the flavors.
Yeah, right. Flavors. And that sends it to your brain, which has a full record of each of those tastes and can tell you which one it is.
This one. Hearing. What is happening?
Travels through the ear canal.
Go back a step.
Well, sound vibration
mm-hmm.
goes into the ear,
mm-hmm.
hits the eardrum,
mm-hmm.
which creates a resonance,
mm-hmm.
which goes in and is filtered in through the brain.
Correct. And we missed one out. We've done taste, we've done touch. Oh, yes. Smell.
Right. And that's where the capillaries in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
pick up the various microscopic molecules of smell
mm-hmm.
and transfer them to the brain.
They have all one thing in common.
The brain.
Besides the brain. Okay, two
nerve
things in
centers,
common.
Yeah.
Three
yeah.
things in common.
The
The light touches the retina.
Mm-hmm.
The sound wave touches the eardrum.
Mm-hmm.
Mark's finger touches the pyramid. The taste touches the senses in his tongue. The smell touches.
Yeah.
It's all touch.
Mm.
Despite popular opinion, it is all touch.
Well,
it is all being processed by the inboard computer.
How much of those nerve centers are we actually aware of? All of them? And just they're not as aware, you know, they're not as fully functional, or...
They need to be tuned better.
Tuned better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hmm. Alrighty, and that's where the various meditations come in.
Correct.
Tuning up the various body parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Alright.
It takes almost to take as well.
Last part then on this is pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that fit into all this mess?
That fits in as a major controlling factor that releases the chemicals at certain times to certain functions to raise the heightened level of consciousness.
So it strictly fits in with consciousness? It doesn't fit in with the various senses?
It does fit in with the various senses. It is an overall control system that releases certain chemicals, or rather it tells certain parts of your body to release certain chemicals. It tells your testosterone it needs to be released. It tells your sweat glands it must sweat. It tells your defense mechanism, we have an intruder, let's release the white corpuscles.
I thought pituitary did that.
It programs the pituitary.
Oh, I see. It's the CPU of that, but the pineal is also controlled by the brain.
Correct.
I see. So it's a step down process. Correct. Brain, pineal, pituitary.
Correct. It's a trickle down mechanism.
I see. Now, can the pineal grow, or is it one size throughout your life?
It grows with your brain when your brain grows.
Well, I thought that's only during your growth phase.
It expands. Correct.
Once you've reached your maximum growth phase, then your brain doesn't grow anymore.
Correct.
All you do is open up more of your brain.
And what happens to your pineal?
That's why I'm asking. Once you open up more of your brain, does your pineal gland then open up also?
It becomes more active.
More active, but doesn't enlarge.
Correct.
Okay. I think.
And you don't understand, do you?
No, darling, I don't.
Okay. You have the overall control mechanism.
Right.
You have the next step down, and then the final step down that takes over and releases all the information. But it cannot release the information until the secondary unit has told it to do so. And in turn, the secondary has to receive information from the primary to do so. But sometimes the secondary will work independently and release, let's say, the white corpuscles to go charging off to attack something. Mm-hmm. And that is a malfunction.
That's when you get cancer.
That's when you get free radicals.
Right.
When free radicals break out, right, you get what? Then you get the cancer.
You get cancer.
Correct. I think it was very good that Kiri came up with the hypothesis that the reason why she can't get pregnant at the moment is because Rob is not ready.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, maybe that's going to help her.
Oh yeah, I think it will too. She will be pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark has seen it. And Mark can be very clairvoyant at times.
Mm-hmm.
He has seen it. Seen her pushing a, what would you call it, a pram?
Mm-hmm.
And a pushchair. A stroller.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
What about Leonides?
What about it?
If his brain is growing, and his pineal gland is growing,
mm-hmm.
and active at the age that he's at, isn't there a chance of burnout?
Yes. That is the reason why some of the superoperants go, If you remember, we said that.
Yeah, I remember, but I was what? I never thought it might be a, you know, that would be a factor involving what we're talking about, but now I do.
Now you understand.
Yeah.
Well, you understand a little. The door is a little bit open. Okay.
I'm not going. Love you, babe.
Love you, love.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, better.
Thank you. Whatever.
What's up? Oh, the moon, or will be shortly. My vibrational level. My sex drive.
Well, at least your hair isn't.
What do you mean by that?
What kind of thing about your hair, you know?
No, she said when it goes down.
Oh, down.
It is up at the moment.
So your hair is up, okay.
No. Or reasonably up.
So how do you work with somebody like Leonese to prevent that brain?
You'd have to ask his teacher.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Have to ask
is she going to channel pretty soon or something?
No, she doesn't.
I didn't think so. No.
She's much too busy. Also, I found out why I got absolutely smashed.
Somebody slipped you some elixir.
Why? From the medical shot that I had from the infection on my tail.